Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of laughter in the midst of all that's going on in our world, and we especially thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit with us each day. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Pentecost, this is Pentecost Sunday, and Pentecost as a major festival day did not really originate with the Christian church. It was a Jewish festival commemorating the giving of the law. It occurs 50 days after Passover, corresponding with the tradition that Moses received the Ten Commandments, 50 days after the Exodus from Egypt. Acts takes a core story of liberation from slavery and continues with the presence of God and how God liberates us from sin and offers this new dimension of liberation from death and liberation from sin in the story of the Pentecost. And its continuing impact on us today in the church, we can see amazing results of that everywhere we go. This simple gathering in Jerusalem, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, is a defining moment in the life of the church. And many Christians call this the birthday of the church. Until that moment in history, the followers of Jesus were gathering as 11 refugees from Galilee. That transformation, or the transformation of these disciples and the whole world, are initiated by this incredible, this monumental, this paradigm shift that we call Pentecost, and that was spoken of in the scripture reading that Florence read for us today. From this one event, the bold assertion can be made that the Christian church cannot and would not exist without the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has always fascinated me. Actually, growing up in a Pentecostal church, I experienced people speaking in tongues. Anybody else here experience that? I experienced people dancing, shouting up and down the hall, falling out under the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the congregation that I was a part of, people would come into the worship experience yearning and expecting to experience the fire of the Holy Spirit in that particular worship experience. And they would say things like, "We want the Spirit to catch the church on fire." So Pentecost has always fascinated me. The whole concept of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, has always fascinated to me. But today, as a pastor, I am more aware of the numerous ways in which the Holy Spirit enters into our lives and brings about positive changes in our lives. I believe it was Martin Luther in the third article of the Apostles' Creed. He said, "It's the Holy Spirit that calls us. It's the Holy Spirit that taps us on the shoulder and says, you know, you need to get this right with God, or you need God. God comes to us," is the theology of the Lutheran church. You know, in the Christian denomination that I grew up with, we would say things like, "I found Jesus." But Jesus wasn't lost. So God comes to us wherever we are and meets us where we are. And Martin Luther says it's the Holy Spirit that really compels us, that taps us on the shoulder and said, "You need a relationship with God." And my understanding of Pentecost is no longer limited with simply wrapped around the phonetic language that is used. It's not no longer just wrapped around speaking in tongues, but the Holy Spirit comes to us in so many ways, filling our life and filling our spirit with hope and joy and power. That's what Acts is talking about. Instead, I'm aware that the Holy Spirit speaks to us and speaks through us in many ways, in words, in sound, in music, in literature, in writing. The Holy Spirit is at work in all of these ways in our life. It's in this idea, in this mind, that I would like us to look and highlight some of the true importance of Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost is not simply a day to remember the birthday of the church. It is also a way to remember a commitment on the part of the people in the church to embrace change. To embrace change in their life and in the world around us. Before Pentecost, there was no Christian church, but the people were filled with anticipation. They had come together in Jerusalem for the traditional Jewish festival. And in 7 weeks since the resurrection and crucifixion of Jesus Christ, a great deal had happened. Listen to all the things that had happened. Jesus had been raised from the dead. He had ascended into heaven. The addition of Matthias had mended this broken circle with the departure of Judas. And so the question came around Pentecost, what will be next for these 12? And for all of those who love Jesus, for all of those who follow Jesus, the question was, what's going to happen next? What will be next for the world is the question that could be raised in the context of all of these things that have happened. What would be next for this world that God so loved and Jesus came and died for? And so the book of Acts tells us on the day of Pentecost, they were there together in one place when there came a sound like a rushing wind that filled the whole place. And there are two things that I want us to notice. There are two things that I want us to focus on. First of all, the condition of the church before the wind of the Holy Spirit, and then the condition of the church after the wind of the Holy Spirit. Before this windstorm of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2 tells us that 120 of them were in together in one place. And I love the King James Version. It said they were on one accord. They were of one mind. They were unified. They were meeting. And that's good that they were together. That's good that they were of one mind. But Acts chapter 1 verse 14 states explicitly what they were doing while they were together. Along the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and his brother, they were all united together in Jerusalem for prayer. That's what Acts chapter 1 verse 14. The verse highlights the unity of the early church, their dedication to prayer, and their resilience and dependence upon God and the power of God. For 10 days, they had been doing that. And many scholars even believe that they were praying in that room at the time of the blowing of the wind of the Holy Spirit. At the beginning of Acts chapter 2, which was read for us, before the windstorm, this band of people appear to be really, they're this neat, they're this tidy, they're this well-run, they're devoutly praying, genuine believers in Jesus Christ. And they were gathered together. Who among us wouldn't want to be a part of a community like that? Who among us wouldn't want to be a part of a church like that? Who among us wouldn't want to be a part of a country like that? And then the wind blew. What was the church like after the wind blew in Acts chapter 2? Well, they were still together, according to Acts. They were still devoted to the teaching of the apostles and in prayer with one another. But it doesn't sound like the same church. It doesn't sound like the same bunch of people. For one thing, after Pentecost, there were 3,000 new members. Imagine coming to Bethel next week. They're in the parking lot. They're on Balboa. They're in the park. After Pentecost, they weren't so neat. They weren't so quiet anymore. There was a sense of awe, this sense of excitement, this bubbling around them. They were no longer confined to a room, but they were bursting out into the streets on Ventura Boulevard. They were bursting out of their temple where the people were and their enemies were. They were going out because they were empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. They were spilling into each other's home, eating together. Miracles were happening, not the least of which was an overwhelming spirit of what? Generosity. You all were lipping it when I was saying it. This overwhelming spirit of generosity. People were selling all that they possessed so that everybody would have something. Everyone was praising God. Even people who didn't believe were speaking good. And one writer describes the church after the coming of the Holy Spirit as this happy, holy hubbub. A big, boisterous love in with more and more and more people being added every day. The wind of the Holy Spirit blew and produced this supernatural phenomenon of two of the most significant achievements since the creation of humankind and since the resurrection of Jesus. And I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm referring to what the church did with this newfound ability to speak. It was this newfound ability to understand each other's language and how the people who heard Peter responded to what he said. A miracle of Pentecost is that the church began to testify about Jesus and the world listened. That's a miracle of Pentecost, that the church began to testify about Jesus and the world listened. The wind of God's Holy Spirit blew upon the church's mouth. And the world said, whoa, somebody's saying something. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like a rush of a mighty wind, and it filled the entire place where they were sitting. The coming of the Holy Spirit was an announcement by a sound of a blowing wind. Have you ever experienced, do you experience the Santa Ana winds in the valley? When we lived in Rancho Cucamonga, we backed up to this preserve land, and I swear, when those winds started swirling, I would turn to my kids and say, did you feel that earthquake? The Santa Ana winds. And do they have anything like that in Texas? The Pentecost story is an example of what happens when the wind of God blows through a church, through a city, through a community, and through a country. I was tempted to entitle my sermon, "The Day the Wind Blew and the Church Grew." But instead, I entitled it, "Can We Talk for a Minute?" After the Holy Spirit came upon them, Luke tells us in Acts that all of them began to do what? Speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Can we talk for a minute? Amazed and astonished, they asked, are these not people who are speaking, aren't they Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of them in our own native language talking about the deeds of God? Somehow through the power of the Holy Spirit, people who are genuinely different from one another began to communicate meaningfully and coherently with each other. Look at the Holy Spirit work. And for me, that is one of the most fascinating aspects of the day of Pentecost. The claim that people who are on opposites, Republicans and Democrats, blacks and whites, gays and straights, lesbians and transgender, people are different from one another, rich and poor, in and out, up and coming and the down and out. People who are different from one another found a way to talk to each other. You see, the purpose of Pentecost is not uniformity. The purpose of Pentecost is unity. There's a difference. It's not uniformity, but it's unity. Uniformity implies a state of sameness. Someone would say sickening sameness, or where all things follow a similar pattern. But unity, on the other hand, refers to the state of being united or as a whole. And even if the individual parts are different, you can still have unity. You can still have unity even if the parts are different. The difference between uniformity and unity is diversity. Now, I know that's a bad word. I know diversity, inclusion, and equity, D-I-E, is almost D-E-A-D these days. But diversity that the text is talking about is then we embrace the difference in someone else. I don't have to look like you. I don't have to talk like you. I don't have to live where you live. I don't have to walk like you in order to be unified with you, to be in unity with you. What saddens me today is the prevailing notion that unity cannot exist in the presence of diversity. That's uniformity. But the Pentecost is not about making everybody look alike. Pentecost is not about having you speak in my language only. Pentecost is not about you singing the song just the way that I want it sung. Pentecost is about unity. It's not about taking some Babbel or Duolingo or Rosetta Stone class to learn how to speak exactly the way I speak, to have everybody speak the same language, either literally or figuratively. So on the day of Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit was given and enabled people of different cultures, people of different languages, to communicate with one another. And observe the scene. One of the observers of the scene concluded this when they started happening. They must be drunk. So Peter offers this explanation. People of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let it be known and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, every time I read that scripture, I think of that lighthearted idiom that says it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Which means that, you know, it's always happy hour for anyone who wants to drink. They're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. And he said, but this, I like what he does. He says he goes to Acts and then he goes to Joel. And he said, this is that. I love that. He said, this, what's happening here, is what Joel talked about back here. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, your young, your sons and daughters, the old, your dreams and prophesy. The gift of the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon all flesh. And it was a sign of a new beginning. It was a sign of a new age. A sign that people longed for. And I would dare to say it's a sign that people are longing for today. A new age, a new language, a new life, new possibility, new hopes. I think we're all longing for that today. Pentecost is not only about an emotional experience. Pentecost, and I have nothing against emotional experiences. Pentecost is not only about speaking in tongues, and I have nothing against speaking in tongues. But I know a whole lot of Christians who can speak in tongues but can't speak in English. They can speak in tongues to God in heaven, but they can't speak in English to their neighbor on the earth. They can speak in tongues to a God they have never seen, but they can't speak to their family member who they see every day. They can speak in a heavenly language, but they don't have an earthly language with someone who has a different gender, different economic status, a different background, a different culture, a different political party, a different race. It's not just about speaking in tongues. But Pentecost is about the Holy Spirit enabling people who are genuinely different from one another to begin to, can we talk for a minute? To communicate meaningfully and coherently with each other. And my prayer on this Pentecost Sunday is that the Spirit of God will once again come into the bickering, polarized, bitterly divided America. There's a protest going on the 101 right now as we speak. Can the Holy Spirit step into this and have us say, can we talk for a minute? Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for the hope of Pentecost, and thank you for the ways in which you bring us together by the Spirit. Amen.